The House will come to order. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blickery.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Rechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers. Childers.
Excused.
Excused. Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Excused.
Davison. Excused. Edmonds.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik. Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Miller. Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas. Nicholas. Patton.
Here.
Peasley.
Here.
Pedersen.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Petrov.
Here.
Korberg.
Here.
Roscoe.
Here.
Semlick.
Here.
Shepperson.
Here.
Steward.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Braunisch.
Here.
Wallace.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Nicholas. Nicholas. 57 present, 2 excused, 1 absent.
Please stand and join us in the morning prayer with Father.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Creator of the human family and Lord of all, bend down from your throne above the heavens to gaze upon your servants who are assembled here this morning. We are mindful of those who have lost a loved one, especially one in our assembly. We ask that you be with their family. Lord, we ask that you bless the work this morning that lies before us. Keep us attentive to the direction of your wisdom. Help us to build a state where all people are welcome. Help us to build a state where all can find a home and dwell in security and peace. Help us to build a state where the future promises hope. Lord, be attentive to our prayer. Remove all fear and confusion. And fill us with good judgment and leadership. For you reward the just and repay the good, now and forever. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
How are you?
Good.
I got to come up with something for over there.
I know. That was really new.
Maybe I'll look this weekend.
Okay.
Something that makes noise.
Did you get your rack of lamb the other night?
Yeah, I got lamb. I guess they were lamb chops. But
at the Outback.
Yeah. They were good. They were, on a letter grade, I'd give them an A-, and that's only because up at the Occidental in Buffalo, they're A+. They still are better up there. But these were good, don't get me wrong. And these were a lot less money, too. I mean, down there, you got to pay $29 for it, and here it's $17. So, yeah, it was good. I like lamb.
We are at that order of business journal committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 15th, 2011 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Freeman, Representative Kasparik.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors of the 61st, we have some very special guests here today from a company that we all know, the Devon Ambassadors from fields across Wyoming. In the gallery, up in the North Gallery, we have ambassadors from Bags, Gillette, Riverton, Worland, and, of course, my home county, Carbon County. And as you are aware, our Devon ambassadors are key employees that serve as liaisons with their communities, answer questions about our operations, provide oil and gas 101 and safety presentations. They man booths at community and industry events and vet opportunities for Devon and their philanthropic support. Please welcome them here today.
I can't let the opportunity go by because last night one of the ambassadors asked me to ask Mr. DiCarlo. We're talking a little bit about Pennsylvania, and many of us on the floor were disappointed. But I was supposed to ask, what happened to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Sorry. Welcome to the House.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Chairman Korberg.
The Packers beat the Steelers, Mr. Speaker.
That's what happened to the Steelers.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Just another applause for those Devon folks up there, and we did say their name, but you know, we're down here spending a lot of the money that they help raise in our tax base here in Wyoming. So again, I think that deserves another round of applause.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I would like to introduce Craig Spatz, the FFA advisor at Burns FFA, most of the freshman class, and some officers that came as well to visit and see what we do up here. These are our young people, future leaders in my home district, and we're very proud of them.
I might request you members of the FFA your assistance. You can see I've got a lovely contemporary chicken on my desk, courtesy of the other end of the Capitol. And I was thinking if I could have some help in procuring, I'm thinking something like a small pig, it would be greatly appreciated. So. I know you can help me out. Representative Peasley.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, thank you. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
As we all know, it's customary in the sixth week, any one of the representatives here who hasn't had anybody visit them is allowed to go out and solicit somebody to appear in the gallery. And I am privileged to have two, and I think they're up there. I don't want to suffer the same humiliation somebody else did when they lost their person, but I have two persons from the Wyoming Retired Educational Personnel Association, both of whom didn't have to worry about tenure, and they are, I guess, in the West Gallery. I want you to welcome Chuck Custis. He's a retired teacher from Bighorn, and Dwayne Tremblay. He's a retired teacher and coach from the town of Cheyenne. Gentlemen, thank you.
that order of business. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 73 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, excused, Edmonds, signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 121 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, no, Escobel, excused, Edmonds, signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 143 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, excused, Edmonds, signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 6, Tribal Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 109 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, McKim, McComey, Petrov, Shepperson, signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 6, Tribal Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred Senate Joint Resolution 1 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Davison, Yagi, McKim, McComey, Petrov, Shepperson, no, Connolly, signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 112 engrossed, respectfully reports back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Quarberg, Vronish, Zmonitzer, Dave, signed, Representing Quarberg, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 131, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Quarberg, Vronish, Zmonitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Quarberg, Chairman.
Representative Harshman. We're at that order of business, bills on third reading and final passage, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 81.
Senate File 81, introduced by Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 81 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers excused. Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petrov,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Bronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Senate File 81, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those members elected to the House, Senate File 81 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 94.
Senate File 94, introduced by Senator Johnson, an act relating to liability for emergency equipment donations, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 94 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Lickry.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers excused. Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux. Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Ronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Senate File 94, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 94 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 103.
Senate File 103, introduced by Senator Hines, an act relating to the Gillette-Madison Water Project financing, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think the message has been sent, and therefore I will withdraw this amendment.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 103 has been withdrawn. Senate File 103 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Lickry.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel. Brechtel. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers excused. Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux. Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Ronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 5 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 103, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 103 has passed the House. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have some directors and folks from our community health centers. We have 2 large centers, Casper and Cheyenne. We hope to open one in Rock Springs. I know in Casper, I'm a patient there, my wife and I. The one in Casper, for example, had 50,000 visits last year. It's just a huge part of the whole primary care system, and about 25% of it's state money. The rest is local. Folks pay on a sliding scale, and then about 25% federal. So it's a huge deal. I think it was Bill 49 that went through here that provided support for growing these across the state. And I know it's been a real push by members of this body to really expand that because it's such an important and really provides a big bang for the buck. So, Mr.
Representative Harshman, please proceed.
Yeah, thank you. Stick a quarter in my ear. I can't stop talking. Sorry, Mr. Speaker. So here today is Mr. Dan Reimer. Reiner, the CEO of the Central Wyoming Community Health Center, just celebrated their 10th year. Ms. Tina Linkenager is the executive director of the new health center in Rock Springs. And then Mr. Paul Wright, he's with the Crossroads Clinic here in Cheyenne. It provides primary care service to the homeless here in Cheyenne. So please welcome them to the house.
I thought maybe we were on committee of the whole. I was confused. We're at that order of business, request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. And the first message for our consideration is message 269 on House Bill 9. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence with message 269 on House Bill 9, Department of Insurance licensure revisions. They made us, the party down the hall made a slight revision. Appears to be fine, just a little bit of more definition, so I move concurrence.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 9. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo. Berger,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Blickrey,
aye.
Bonner,
aye.
Botten,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Childers excused, Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison excused, Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Scoggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlek,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Vronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 9. The next message for our consideration is message number 270 on House Bill 62. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on message number 273 and urge you to vote no. Some good work.
270.
270, I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker. And urge you to vote, wait a minute.
273 will be next.
273 will be next. On 270 and urge you to vote aye. I am cross-eyed, Mr. Speaker. I'm recommending an aye vote on this. What the work that was done on this bill was to take spice drugs out of this bill. They're going to be in a bill that we're going to consider here shortly, and insert into this bill bath salts. It was at the suggestion of the primary sponsor of the bill that it was done, and I would urge you to vote aye to concur.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 62. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers excused. Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison excused. Edmonds. Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden, McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 62. The next message for our consideration is message number 273 on House Bill 95. Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on message number 273 and urge you to vote aye. There was some additional work done on this bill to address concerns that the Attorney General had. The changes are satisfactory to the bill sponsor. Please vote aye.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 95. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers excused. Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft. Aye. Davison excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lebno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz, Nicholas,
no.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Braunisch,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Brechtel? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 3 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 95. The next message for our consideration is message number 276 on House Bill 124. Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker. I move for concurrence on message number 276 on House Bill 124, and I ask that you vote no on the concurrence. Mr. Speaker and my good colleagues, there was one whole section, subsection E, deleted in our copy and new language inserted, so we'd like to go back and ask the Senate why they thought they needed to make such a major change. So I'd ask you to vote no.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 124. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Flickery.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Childers excused. Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
No.
Eklund. Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
no.
Green,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Lebno,
no.
Madden,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
McComey,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
no.
Semlick,
no.
Shepperson,
no.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
no.
Braunisch,
no.
Wallace,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 124. The next message for our consideration will be message 277 on House Bill 105. Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on message number 277 and urge you to vote aye. There were some changes made in here that are technical language changes. They're meet the approval of the bill sponsor, and they don't appear to change the meaning of the bill, so I would urge you to vote aye on concurrence.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 105. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers excused. Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund. Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Petrov, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Bronish, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 105. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, Conference Committee for House Bill or Senate File 23, we will try to meet immediately upon adjournment in Senate 19 today, and if we can't make it today, we'll do it tomorrow at the same time, but we'll try today.
Any other announcements before we go to our next agenda item? I'd like to just remind the body that your third reading amendments to House Bill 1 would need to be requested by 5 p.m. today, and if you new folks want to take a look at the rule, it's Joint Rule 14-1. M2. So just keep that in mind. And Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Announcing that the Conference Committee for Senate File 15 will be held tomorrow, Thursday, upon adjournment in the Senate Judiciary Committee room.
Right. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, or we will have a conference committee on House Bill 109 and 113 tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and it'll either be in the Senate Minerals Meeting Room or the House, and we haven't determined that at the moment, but it'll be one of those two.
We are at that order of business. Consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just some for your interest plans for the rest of the week. If Senate File 70 and 146 are reported out of Education Committee, those will be the first bills that we discuss on Committee of the Whole on Friday. I don't anticipate any Committee of the Whole tomorrow. That leaves us 6 days of Committee of the Whole to get through the Senate files we have. What I'd like to do today, with your permission, is to go through Senate File 119. That would be doing about 21 bills today. That way we can have a short day on Friday and get home, depending on the amount of debate that we have. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is resolved into Committee of the Whole. Representative Dave Zwanitzer.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. First bill for our consideration will be Senate File 150, and the reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 150, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to notaries. This bill is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Byrd, Illaway, Yagi, Croker, Patton, Roscoe, Stubson, excused, Shepperson, signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Illaway?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 150 do pass, and the good gentleman from House District 23 will give you about a 20-minute, 30-minute dissertation on this fascinating subject of notaries.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill is sort of thick. It's about 40 pages, so sit back, get relaxed. No, I won't walk you through the whole thing. What's easier, actually, is in your box should be a handout that explains the bill. It says at the top, SF-150, Notary Act. What this is it's adopting what's called the Model Notary Act. It helps to modernize our notary statutes to ensure the integrity of our documents, both in the legal world and the business transactions. Our business world would not work if we could not verify that that was your signature. And that's how our whole system works, to make sure contracts, mortgages, deeds all work, is that there is a person, a notary public, that signs and says, yep, that is your signature. I verified either I knew that person personally or I checked his ID and verified that that was that person. Notaries, it seems like a subject matter that wouldn't be very interesting, but it's an area that I knew very little about until I actually had to prosecute a case where a man had stolen, and we actually ended up turning it over to the U.S. Attorney's Office. He had stolen quite a lot of money as the bank president of a bank, and the way he had done it was forging notary signatures, and he was notarizing things that weren't really the people's signatures on mortgages, and money was flowing. So the notary is actually an extremely important issue. For those that have been here for a few years, you've seen a few of these bills before. And I'll just back up because it gets confusing as to, well, I thought we did this last year. So I'll back up. About 4 years ago, it might have been 5 years ago, we did what's called the Uniform Notarial Act bill. That actually had nothing to do with the powers of notaries. What that actually had to do with is how the actual document is configured. And we actually did pass that, and that actually is the law today. After we did that, then we moved into looking at the powers of notaries. For the most part, most of the things you're going to see in this bill is the way the notaries actually do it. But they're doing it based off of handbooks that they get. The Secretary of State puts out a small handbook. There's also a national handbook. But we're one of the few states where we actually don't define what their powers are in statute. And the Model Notary Act does that. So really what this bill does, it gives guidance to notaries as to what they can and can't do. There's a section in there as to if someone wants to mark with an X, some people mark with an X, what do you do? If someone can't write at all, what do you do? And then when shouldn't a notary notarize a document? When they're a party to the document, when they're going to receive value. And then what are the fees for being a notary? And that's pretty much the majority of what's in this bill. The reason the bill is so long is that for the majority in the middle of this bill, when we adopted the Uniform Notarial Act about 5 years ago, one of the things we did was change from using the word notary public in our statutes. We switched to using the word notarial officer. And I'll tell you why we made that change. A notarial officer, think of that as the all-inclusive term. Within notarial officer is included notary public. The reason you do that is there's actually quite a few different officials in this state that actually can notarize documents that actually are not notary publics, such as a judge, a clerk of the district court, and there's a few others. A notary public is someone who has sent in their application along with a bond and actually taken a test from the Secretary of State and received back a certification, and they are actually commissioned as a notary public. So we did that a few years ago. We thought, and that bill was a pretty thick bill, we thought we had hit them all, and we had not. So a large part of that bill, if you flip through the middle, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, all those pages, what they're really doing through there is anywhere they found where a notary public was actually in the statute, they're switching it to notarial officer. And when you do that, you have to bring in the whole statute. So like if you look on page 18, we had to bring in that entire statute just to change that one line on line 16 from notary public to notarial officer. Then at the end of the bill is new definitions. And these, again, are from the model Notary Act, and I'll walk you through some of these definitions. And really, it's not changing the definitions, we're just clarifying even better. We had a definition for what a notarial act is, and we got more definitive. It's essentially what you're doing if you're notarizing something. You're taking an acknowledgement, or you could be taking a verification upon oath or affirmation. You can be certifying a copy of something. You'll see that word performing a jurat, and sometimes people ask, what's a jurat? A jurat is where you're doing more than just attesting to their signature. You're actually attesting that they swore before you that the information contained is true and correct. So sometimes those are required on certain documents. So a notary has the power to take an oath from a person, and then you'll see in there oath is defined, and then affirmation is defined, because some people can't take oaths, but they can take affirmations. The definition of what is satisfactory evidence for determining somebody's identity is in there. And so those are some of the definitions. And then near the end of the bill, on page 32, is a section that the good senator added in. This was the part that was real important to him, this presumption part. And what that's dealing with is that if the signature is notarized on a document, that it's presumed that that's that person's signature, that if you ever had a case in court, you don't actually have to go find that person. You can say, well, here's their signature. It's been notarized, so there is a presumption that the person did actually sign the document. That is the entire bill. I certainly can spend more time and go through it piece by piece, but it might maybe easier if I just take questions.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. I think for the third time now I'm going to get up against this bill and try to encourage the body to vote no on it for three major reasons that I have with the bill almost every year. The first is that, you know, in my mind, and I'll walk you through why, it basically takes out all notaries who aren't bankers, lawyers, or government employees. I think it really hurts small businesses in this state, and it's really unnecessary unless things have changed. The testimony last year, we've only had 8 problems with this act in the last 25 years in our state, and we're about to put, you know, a whole bunch of new laws in place that I really don't think are needed. And all of my problems are contained in the first 5 pages of the bill. That is all the new language that I don't really agree with. First, we're putting the burden and the responsibility on notary officers to follow all these guidelines we're placing on them, and really, I mean, if you read through the pages 2 and 3, you know, they have to prove that they don't have a demeanor which causes the notarial officer to have compelling doubts. We talk a lot about the notarial officer's judgment, and I know they swear an oath now to uphold their oath and all these things, but, you know, we're really putting a burden on these people, and they assume some liability. Then on page 3, we're going to go and ask them to have 2 witnesses, who aren't even affected by this document, to be in their presence. That's really tough in a lot of small businesses, you know, especially in the small business I come from. You know, when we're signing over and becoming notaries to some of these things, there may only be 3 people, and we have to go find somebody else, especially if it's on a weekend. What it really does, if you look at disqualifications, and this is the heart of my problems with the bill, on page 5, notarial officers are disqualified if they're a party named in the document to be notarized, or will receive as a direct result any commission, fee, advantage, right, title, interest, cash, or property. And I'm not sure if I have to declare a conflict on this, but in my business is, and I'm not officially a notary, so I guess I don't, but what we do, we do a lot of title work. We sell cars over auction, and so we have a direct financial interest in making sure we notarize you know, these titles to sell to businesses. And I think there's probably a lot of small business in the state who have an interest in being a notary and a non-corporation and a sole proprietorship that has, you know, advantages or gets a financial commission or direct result benefit for being a notary in their business. In our line of work, we have a lot of people on the weekends who can't go to a bank to find a notary, come in and have us notarize documents. I think we have two notaries on our staff, including the good chairman and the chair up there. But it just seems like a lot of burden to place on a notary and to find these two people and to, you know, say that all of the employees in that business in some way have some type of direct result from being a notary, and then you got to go find somebody else. And if it's late at night, you know, 11 o'clock, and we sold a car that night, and we got to notarize the title. I mean, it is easy, and I understand there could be some corruption, not in our business, but there is some open-endedness. But they're really, from what I remember, unless things have changed since last year, we've only had 8 problems with complaints in the last 25 years. And so I would really strongly urge you, maybe send us to an interim study. We've yet to ever get it through an interim study. But I just don't think it's ready, and we'll see what the two lawyers getting up the mic say in regards to my comments.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rising on in support of the bill, you know, this may not have been through an interim committee, but this is probably one of the most well-vetted pieces of legislation I've ever seen. I'm really getting sick and tired of doing it every year, and I think that it's good model legislation that if we pass it, we can come back next year. If there's problems, if there's issues with the way that it's being implemented on the ground, we'll address it next year, but I would urge your support of it.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Well, I am a notary, which impressed my mother much more than me becoming a lawyer. What I think I'll do to save time is bring a second reading amendment, but I do want to pose a question to the good speaker pro tem. And my greatest concern, there are some good components of this bill that I do like. There are some points of clarification and some guidance that I do believe are needed in this state. However, on page 2, Romanet 3, really poses an almost impossible burden on a notary. I mean, we're talking throughout the bill $2 per transaction, and yet we're going to hold a notarial officer, to a standard that they have to know, read a person's demeanor to see if they have a compelling doubt, if they'll know what compelling means, to whether or not the principal knows the consequences of the transaction. And I think the good speaker pro tem said something that I agree with wholeheartedly, and that is, yep, that's your signature. That's what we want. We want to give some guidance on how we can get these transactional documents signed and make sure that we've got clear proof that we know the person is who they are. And, yeah, that's their signature, and, yes, they signed that document. I am very much concerned about Romanet 3 and Romanet 4 are two components I think really expose a notarial officer to a great deal of liability, and I think it would impede transactions. So I guess I'm posing this a little bit as a question because I know that you did not adopt the Model Act in whole, and I'm wondering why this was left in, and I may just address this particular issue with a second reading amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. While the Speaker Pro Tem's answering questions, lines 8 through 11 on page 2, Romanet 1, I'd like to have an explanation about what that means because I can't figure it out. And I am wondering on page 6, lines 2 through 6, which is paragraph A, I'm wondering if that means that I, as a notary public, cannot notarize a document that I present bedside to a client who's about to die.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the olden days, I was a notary, too, so I didn't get the honor of having notarial, but what I'd like to ask the good speaker pro tem is on page 2, lines 8 through 11, little Romanet I, it seems that has a conflict in
the language with page 28, lines with a small c on line 13. I don't exactly know, is not in the notarial office and confirms through a telephone, and then you go over here, shall appear in person. So they don't seem to coordinate. And then I'd like to know on page 29, on line 19, little d, all persons authorized to perform notarial acts. Who is that? Thank you.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Okay, those are good questions, so I'll start at the beginning. Let me deal with the two witness issue first. Those two witnesses are only used in two very special occasions. One is if the person is just simply making a mark, so they're going to put an X on a document, or if the person cannot write at all. Their mind is fine, but they can't move their arms. At that point, and this is actually what they do now, they're just doing it based off of a handbook, not by what's in our statutes, because that's how the other states do it. And here's where this gets difficult, is once other states might start figuring out that we don't have a lot of this in the law, you know, does that call into question our notarizations in reciprocity to other states? Because this is how we do it. We just thought it should be, you know, delineated out that when you get a mark or if the person can't speak, the practice is you go find two witnesses to verify that that's actually what happened. So that's the two witness deal. As to, there was the issue of disqualifications over on page 5. The argument there was, so let's say somebody's writing out a document where you personally are going to get a bunch of money. Should you really be the person who's notarizing all the signatures at the end? I mean, that's sort of the question. Because again, the notary, and that, you know, and people forget that word public, it's a public official, and that official is acting on behalf of the state and verifying on behalf of the state that is truly the signature. It calls into question when you are notarizing documents where you are the beneficiary of the document. I can certainly see the issues with small businesses in regards to Romanet 2. If you know that might be a second reading amendment to narrow that down. Again, it may be Romanet 1 pretty much covers it. So as long as you're not named as a party, but you know if you're receiving some interest out of it, that's fine. So that could be something you want to clean up. The page, let's see. I think there were some questions on page 2. And I have to tell a little history of this bill so you understand why that's there. When we did the Uniform Notarial Act, that got through, and then we brought the Model Notary Act. The first year we brought it, it had too much in it. The Model Notary Act actually has a provision in it for electronic notary. A lot of people have started doing business with PDFs, and you send a PDF and you electronically notarize, so documents can move a lot faster. To me, that's extremely important. This body didn't like that idea, that we would have electronic notaries, which was fine. So that bill went away, and there were some other problems with it. We were moving too much to the Secretary of State. So I took out all the stuff with the electronic notary. I took out the stuff on moving some stuff to the Secretary of State, and I took out, oh, there was a provision on journaling that got taken out. That was all in the Model Act. But so we brought it back last year, got through the House, went over to the Senate, and the person who was actually the sponsor of the bill this year, he got up with two concerns. And actually, everybody's pointed out his two concerns actually already. His one is on page 2, lines 8 through 11. And how that reads in the Model Act is that you must be in the presence of the notarial officer. It turns out, and I didn't realize this went on in this state, But there are quite a few attorneys, and they all seem to be on the eastern side of the state, because I've never seen this done. But what they do is the person will be in the attorney's office. They'll sign a document. Then later on, the attorney will hand it to their secretary after the person's left and says, go ahead and notarize their signature. The secretary calls the person and says, you were here earlier today. I was just verifying that you signed this document. That is, I guess, a common practice with some attorneys. So he wanted that in there, and that's why that got added in, this part about who confirms through a telephone conference that the principal signed the document. And that was his issue last year, and so he added that in. His other issue was the presumptions. So those were the two major changes from the bill from last year. Point that out. Oh, the demeanor part, actually, and that's on page 2, line 17 through 20. That actually came from a lot of notaries. It's in the Model Act, but that was the part a lot of notaries were actually appreciating. They would like the ability to walk away sometimes, where they're sitting there, and it's obvious the person does not know what's going on. And the grandkids putting their hand up there with the pen and moving their hand up and down, and suddenly, you know, the house has been transferred. The notaries sometimes feel very uncomfortable with that, that they're sitting there, and they'd like the ability to sometimes just walk away and say, you know, I don't think the person sitting here knows what's going on. I'm not going to sign this. Now, we could certainly word that a different way on second reading, because I can see what you're saying, that you could read it the other way, that it's putting some burden on the person. They have to evaluate the person every time. Or you could just take it out. That's fine. That mostly came from the notaries. They want the ability to walk away sometimes. And then the good chairman of appropriations pointed out there is some inconsistencies between what the good chairman of appropriations on the Senate side put in on page 2 with this telephone conference, and then other places in the bill it says you must be personally in front of the person, and we can certainly work out some of those inconsistencies. So I think that's all the questions that everybody had. I might have missed one or two.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 150 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
Senate File 150 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 59. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 59, introduced by Senator Escobel, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act, spice drugs. This bill was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, with amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Kraft, Gingrich, Green, Harvey, Miller, Peasley. No, Gay, Hunt. Signed, Representative Harvey, Chairman. The bill was further referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 59 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And if you could look at that for just a few minutes, we deleted one position, and we also made this effective immediately. And with that, I would call for a question on the amendment.
Representative Barbudo. You have heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted, and we are back on the bill. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would turn the floor management of the bill over to the fine representative from the southwest corner of the state.
Representative Barbuto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The fine representative couldn't make it this morning, but I'm here in his absence. thank you. This is a bill. A lot of you probably in your community have started hearing about spice. Spice is a synthetic cannabinoid or a synthetic marijuana. It's more potent than regular or natural marijuana, and as a result, we've seen a lot of people getting sick as a result, and we've seen it being sold in our communities usually as incense, but people are ingesting it. So what we have here is another piece of another bill that we heard earlier, and I can't remember the House bill number that our good speaker pro tem brought that dealt with salvia and some other substances we're seeing in our community. So this is that final piece of the puzzle. We want to get synthetic cannabinoids in there and scheduled with the other Schedule I drugs. I guess we can go through the bill real quick. Let's see. You got your dimethyl, your methyloctin, your hydroxymethyl, your tetrahydrocobenzochromin, dexanabinol, hydromethyl, dimethyl, methyloctin, tetrahydrobenzochromin, naphthol, naphthalmethane, naphthalpyrrole, phenylacetyl indole, nitrogen, pyrrole, alkyl, alkanil, cycloalkylmethyl, cycloalkylethyl. Don't confuse those two if you can help it. Morpholinol ethyl, naphthyl, phenyl, and I think that's just, hydroxychlohexy. So that's the bill. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them. Otherwise, I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Pedersen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to speak to the body really quick, and there's just one piece that came up in committee that I think it's important to talk about, because when we previously spoke about this similar legislation on the floor, we talked about where the Germanic tribes used to wander. There's a gentleman who's consistently remaking the way that that the pill works and the way that the drug works on a down at a chemical level, and the best comparison that you can do is it used to be a little purple pill that was for acid reflux, and when it was coming up to go off and so that would be a generic brand, what they did is, if you all remember the little atoms, and they were all connected together in your science class, what they did is they went twist and push together, and then they came up with a new one that's ironically purple also, and now it is a script and not over the counter, and then they remarketed it like that. And that's what this gentleman in Germany has continued to do with this. And what the important thing that we had, because before in the previous bill we were trying to continually put all of these different pieces in of all of the different chemical ways that this could be made up. If you look at Section C, any compounds structurally derived from, and this is actually model language from another bill, and I'd also remind, and as it pertains to the talk on that amendment that went out, is they said that they didn't have enough information as far as whether or not they would take another person to enforce it, because they don't really know a lot about it. And that's why the person was taken out, the enforcement piece, because they have no idea how much it's going to be. It might be a little, might be a lot, but we'll know better next time. And so at this point, they don't need that. And that's just a little bit more information from the body as we were working our way through this new drug that I had never heard of until 2 weeks ago.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to make sure everybody's clear, we actually passed the other bill. It was the pharmacy board's bill that had spice drugs in it. We've gone ahead on the other end and taken that out of that bill because we can't pass both. Because in the pharmacy board's bill, and that was that real thick one that we changed all the drugs, what the pharmacy board had come up with was very specific definitions. The good senator from the other end, who is the sponsor of this bill, he worked with some other folks, and actually it's a much more inclusive definition that hopefully you don't have to come back every year and change, because all you got to do is change a little tiny bit of it and you essentially have the same substance. So if you're wondering, didn't we already vote on this? It got taken out down there, and hopefully this one will pass and it'll be more inclusive, so you don't have to keep changing it every year. But with these designer drugs, and actually earlier today we did an amendment, actually a concurrence, where we added those bath salts. Same things. Those are bath salts are actually synthetic cocaine. I don't know why they call them bath salts. They look like bath salt, but it's actually synthetic cocaine. But as more and more of these synthetic drugs and spice drugs are synthetic cannabinoids, they're going to be hard to keep up with because chemists are smart.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report to do so with the recommendation that House Bill 59 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 59 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Our next bill for your consideration is Senate File 39. The reading clerk will read the bill. Let me redo that. Our next bill for your consideration is House Bill 108. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 108, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to banks and banking regarding remote electronic terminals. This bill is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Camel, Childers, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Semlek. No, Goggles, excused, Vronish. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Vice Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 108 do pass. And there's no amendments, and I'll turn the management of the bill over to Representative Greer.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill simply removes the $2 cap on, and I'm going to go ahead and use the term, ATM machines in the state of Wyoming. ATM fees that are charged are regulated by the Banking Commission. However, Wyoming, in its legislation, being the only state in the union, has a cap on these fees. The concern that has come in is that we are capped at $2, but the average national cost, the only figures I have are the national cost, for the ATM fees are $2.31. The costs are higher here in Wyoming simply because of the remote location of some of these. And the reason this bill was brought was to go ahead and let the market dictate what these fees will be to be able to continue to provide the convenience in more remote locations. Again, I find it a little bit ironic we have this cap and then we say that the Banking Commission still has the right to regulate that. This bill just simply takes out that $2 requirement. Just a little bit more background. All ATM machines in Wyoming are registered with the Banking Commission. There are 66 ATMs that are owned by individuals, and they're still registered and regulated by the Banking Commission. The rest are owned by banks and credit unions. There's really not much more to say on this bill other than if we keep this fee in place, it is going to force the owners of these, because of the increased costs, to go ahead and pull their machines. So it's a matter of, hey, let's let the market dictate what these fees are. And I will point out that the bill says that the fee will be put on a placard on the machine, and before you finalize your transaction, there is electronically, you are told what that fee is. So you have one more opportunity to cancel your transaction before having to have this fee imposed upon you. And I'll stand and try to answer any questions that I can.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If the body will remember, I brought a bill before this body last year to lower that fee to $1.50. In the course of the testimony, those people came to me and said, at that time, that would put them out of business. I have a feeling that they are being disingenuous with you, my friends and colleagues of the 61st. I have it on good authority from retailers that the most profitable square foot inside their business is where this machine sits. So if you allow this to go to $4 or $5 or whatever you establish the maximum will to be, that's where it will be as soon as the pen and the ink is dry downstairs on this. I urge you to really resist this and vote it down.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader Goggles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I was the only vote in no vote in revenue because I consider this open-ended legislation. The open-endedness is removing the cap and allowing the market to determine the transaction cost. And who is that decision maker that determines that transaction cost? This open-ended legislation will allow those decision makers to make that transaction cost for the small person, many of those that are rural, in rural areas, where they claim or have testified that the cost of running a single dedicated line is a large cost of them doing business. So from a consumer standpoint, be cautious, because many of your constituents use ATMs and debit cards for their convenience, but they should not be penalized for that convenience. So I would urge caution on this one.
Representative Pedersen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in support of this bill. I believe that free market capitalism is the fastest path to prosperity. And if people don't want to use an ATM, they can move on to the next one. People have that freedom of choice. And if someone says $10 on this one and the one down the street is $1 or $2, people can make that own decision for themselves. And that's really the path that I think that we need to follow with this.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I was at the podium here before the speaker from House District 7, and he said what I was going to say, so I just repeat that. Let individuals make their decisions on whether they do something or don't do something, and when it's flagged up what their costs are going to be, and they choose to, yes, I'm going to put in my card and pay whatever it is, they make that choice. It shouldn't be up to us to try to regulate the private sector businesses.
Representative Barnish.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My banker is not going to be happy with me. He asked me to support this bill. And in my heart, I can't do that. They say, let the free market go. Okay, put yourself in a strange town where your bank is not located in that town, and you need some funds. Whatever fee they happen to put on there, is you're going to have to suck it up and eat it if you want the money. And I've never been able to figure out how these ATMs can be so profitable to banks, because, I mean, they put thousands of dollars in there, and people come take it out that have accounts there, and I'm trying to figure out where's that profit at. And if you think you can trust the free market on this, just remember, what do you get charged when you bounce a check? $35? What are you late on a credit card? $39. I mean, these people, I've been, well, let me put it to you this way, and if I get gaveled down, I get gaveled down. If you have your choice to give your soul to the devil or to the banker, the devil's more forgiven. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion? Any other discussion? Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to again remind this body that the market will move to whatever the limit is, regardless of whether it's $4, $5. Next year, they'll come back and tell you that $4 is not enough and threaten to pull their machines out. This is an ongoing thing. I think they're being disingenuous. Let's vote this down and just get on with business.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm having trouble following this automatic gouging that we're seeing here. I think you need to put a little faith in the market system. We don't have a law on the books that regulates the price of a loaf of bread, and you know, the logic we're hearing so far from those that have questions about this bill is not any different than suggesting that if we don't have a maximum price set on the loaf of bread, that we're going to get gouged, you know. And you know, certainly I would be more worried about having to get gouged from not being able to buy food items like bread at a fair price, and whether or not I make a choice to use an ATM machine. I just, you know, you sell your house, you go to a realtor, and they're not bound by some state law that says they can only charge 6% commission or whatever. I think we have to look at, you know, where this is all coming from here and put some faith in the market system. They told us in committee, the same committee I was on, that, you know, somebody's got a ATM 70 miles away from where their bank is, and the break-even amount for that thing with all the travel and servicing the thing is, I think it was $4 in some sense a transaction. So, you know, certainly that, you know, they're going to look at what the competition's charging and just not to, I don't think we should worry about this. This is not any business of ours. Thank you.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rising on in support of the bill. If we're going to try to regulate businesses and how much they can charge and try and determine what a fair profit is, it really scares me as a business owner, because the arguments that have been used against this could be used against my business. You could use the argument that, well, what if a motorcycle or a person on a motorcycle from out of town breaks down in my city and they come to my store, are we then going to say, well, it's not fair for me to make a fair profit and determine what that is, because he's going to be stuck paying whatever I charge for him? So are we now going to regulate how much I'm allowed to charge for repairs at my store instead of letting the market determine it? These ATMs, they provide a service to a customer. No customer is forced to use an ATM machine. It's their choice. They're there for their convenience, and business owners who choose to offer that service deserve to make a profit.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative Freeman.
I teach history, and I have my students, when we talk about the Industrial Revolution before government regulations, and I ask them, who did the farmers love to hate? And it was bankers, railroads, and the government. And they're pretty good about shouting that out. What this isn't regulating to where that what you're going to charge. It's going to put a limit on what you're charging. And I think that limit, I think, is well placed. I understand all the arguments of, you know, you have a choice of doing an ATM in most situations. But again, if you're in a strange town and all of a sudden your motorcycle breaks down and you need cash, you need to get to an ATM. My bank used to be open on Saturdays and have extended hours to where that I could get them at the end. I could get to them during the end of the working day. With the ATMs, what is happening is hours have been restricted and constricted, and I can't get to a bank all the time. I think this is to keep the restriction, or the top-end restriction, is prudent government.
Is there any other discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Vice Chairman Miller's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 108 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The chair is in doubt. Pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, standing vote is required. All those in favor, please stand. Senate File 108 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 39. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 39, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish, aquatic invasive species reciprocity. This bill is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, McKim, McComey, Petroff, Shepperson. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman McComey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with the recommendation that Senate File 39 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And Mr. Chairman, I will explain the Standing Committee Amendment on page 1, line 10. There was a technical correction This was supposed to be aquatic invasive species program, and if fishing was brought from another part of a statute in when they were copying over. So that's the correction there. And then the committee felt further into the bill on page 2, line 10, take out shall require an additional reciprocity fee to any at the request of the Game and Fish Department, because they felt that this language made it easier for reciprocity. So, and with that, I would like to ask for questions or call the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to turn the explanation of the bill over to the good gentleman from House District 25.
Mr. Chairman, we will allow that. Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This was an interim topic, and we worked to bring a bill that would be that would provide for reciprocal agreements on a limited basis. And the important proviso in this bill, you see at the top of page 2, is that the adjoining state must have an aquatic invasive species control program at least as stringent as Wyoming's before any agreement would be contemplated. Further, you'll see that this would provide for agreements only on boundary waters that are impoundments forming the borders between this state and adjoining states. And there are 3 of those boundary waters, one with the state of Utah, one with the state of Idaho, one with the state of Montana. Only the boundary water with the state of Idaho would qualify under this particular agreement. It's the only one that has that would satisfy the requirements to where reciprocity is possible to the benefit of Wyoming users. It has a user fee program. Mr. Chairman, there's also a Committee of the Whole amendment. In that Committee of the Whole amendment, I'd like to introduce or move now. Committee of the Whole amendment number 1 to House to Senate File 39 is a cleanup amendment. It breaks down a long sentence that made it hard to understand who the holder was referring to, and so the parties who worked on this bill agree that it provides clarification on page 2, lines 7 and 8. I would like to read the effect of the amendment, and then call for the question on the amendment. Starting at the end of page 5, it would read, the agreements may include provisions by which each state shall honor the aquatic invasive species program fees of the other state. Watercraft operators from the other state shall display proof of payment of the appropriate aquatic invasive species program fee from the other state and any additional reciprocity fee to the state of Wyoming set by mutual agreement of the states. With that, I call for the question on the Committee of the Whole amendment.
Question being called. All those in favor of the Committee of the Whole amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole amendment number 1 has passed.
And if
back
there are
on the bill.
If there are no questions, I would call for the question on the bill.
Question having been called on the bill, all those in favor of Chairman McComey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 39 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senate File 39 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 7. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 7, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to the State Fair. This bill was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davidson, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Moniz, Semlich, Zwanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlich, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Semlich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 7 do pass. This bill comes to us from the Department of Ag with some relatively minor changes with respect to their overseeing of the state fair. Page 2, you can see some stricken language up there in line 5. Talks about no person shall collect any award until he furnishes to the department, if requested, a complete history and writing of how the exhibit was produced. The supervision of the fair under 1110.102, it does add the additional language of management of the fair and fairground in line 15 and adds the word operation in line 16. Minor change, as I said. The next one talks about the revision of the fairgrounds to the donor, which we would hope would not happen. But if the current language says if they don't conduct a fair at least once every 3 years, that within 3 months the property will revert back to the owner, and this change proposes to make that 24 months. And then some language there about the catalogs. Fair catalogs, just now it says it'll be available. They don't have to be distributed to the county clerks. Admission charges at the state fairgrounds, overseen now not only by the board but by the director also. And you see that language going through to the next page. Similar additions in 1110.107, the powers of the board to add the director along with the board to, in terms of powers to acquire land, authority to make rules, and so forth. And then some clarification language in 1110.115 on page 5 with respect to the State Fair Advisory Board. Make sure there's a distinction there between the advisory board and presumably what could be mistaken as the Department of Ag Board. So that is the NOCEO changes gone over to the page 6 of the bill. And minor changes, ask for your favorable consideration. If there are no questions, I would call for the question on Senate File 7.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Simulik's motion that when the committee rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 7 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 7 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is Senate File 57. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 57, introduced by Senator Anderson, an act relating to the 100th State Fair Celebration. This bill was sent to Committee Number 2 Appropriations, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Berger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 57 do pass, and I'll turn it over to the good sponsor.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the 100th State Fair Celebration in 2012. Appropriations already in the budget. This bill just tells how to spend the money. What it is it's a program where there's a threshold of $100,000 that the state fair has to raise. If they don't raise the $100,000, they don't get any money. If they raise the $100,000, then the state will match them dollar for dollar up to $250,000 for the state fair celebration, which will include incentives and prizes and displays for each county in Wyoming, commemorative awards for Wyoming youth, education programs for Wyoming youth, production of special events at the state fair, production of special attractions based on history, education, culture, and industries, including agriculture for all citizens of Wyoming, and permanent improvements that will recognize statewide contributions toward the state and the state fairgrounds in celebration of 100 years of Wyoming's culture. With that, I'd stand for any questions. If no questions, call for the question.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 57 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The Senate File number 57 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 89. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 89, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to the Adult Protective Services. This bill was sent to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 89 do pass. And I further move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 and would turn the explanation of both the bill and the Standing Committee Amendment over to the bill sponsor.
Representative Gingrey, Mr. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you recall, a few years ago, we passed the Adult Protective Services Bill. After it got passed, we realized there were a few things we had left out or needed to clarify better. So that's what this bill does. It goes through and clarifies some of the things in Adult Protective Services that we should have had in there. What Adult Protective Services is, we have a vulnerable population, our older population that can be taken advantage of in certain circumstances, especially sometimes even from their caregivers. And so this bill was created a few years ago, and I'll go through what the changes are. The first change on page 2, even though it says caregiver, we added in person of trust or authority and professional so that we would bring in more of the people that actually were abusing these folks. If you come on down, we define what the abuse is, and we got more definitive in saying intimidation, exploitation, sexual abuse. If you go over to page 3, we talk about emergency services. And you can go through. It's mostly cleanup language. I'm trying to find the one that was a big change. Oh, go over to page 5. That's the definition of sexual abuse. And this is where the Standing Committee amendment comes in. The committee took out the word non-consensual. We can have a little discussion about that if you want. Here's what the problem sometimes is that the person who is being sexually abused is suffering from Alzheimer's or some other disease that they have no ability to give consent, and so there's been some confusion. Did they consent? Did they not consent? So we just took the word non-consensual out, so that was not be part of the discussion. So that part's there. And that primarily is the whole bill throughout. And so I stand for any questions on the Standing Committee Amendment, and if there are none, would ask for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
You have heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 89 do pass, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Senate File 89 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 16. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 16, introduced by the School Facility Committee, an act relating to school facilities. This bill was sent to Committee Number 4, Education, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters. Signed, Representative Teeters, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Anyone from the Education Committee, please. Chairman, Vice Chairman, Committee Member. Vice Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, you do so with the recommendation that bill number 16 do pass.
Mr. Vice Chairman, would you like to turn the reading or the discussion of that bill over?
Yeah, I'd like to turn discussion of the bill over to the chair, sponsor.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, Senate File 16 is some interim work from the Select School Facilities Committee, and really is about how we determine what is called the adequacy assessment or come up with what is called a needs index. Every building in the state is ranked. Now, not every determination is necessarily a full CapCon situation or a full rebuild, but basically the current situation has three things that we assess school buildings: 50% capacity, 50% condition, 35% capacity, and 15%, which is called functionality, which is not found in statute or Supreme Court or anywhere else. So what this bill has done is, in looking at this situation over the years, is that when you combine all three of those into a score, you truly don't get a reflection of what the worst problems are out there or the real serious capacity needs, because they're all blended into one number to get a score. So what this bill simply does is put the things that we're really required to do in the Campbell 4 and what our statutes say is we're going to rank them first according to condition. So we want to fix the worst first. That's the idea. Fix the worst first. Address those needs with some kind of remedy. Many times it's just a major maintenance type thing, a roof repair, those kind of things. In fact, most of them are. The majority of them are not full-blown capital construction projects to fix the problem. But we want to rank them in order on condition with the worst first, and then we'll have a separate ranking that we can look at independently on capacity. And that, therefore, we can see actual capacity needs rise up and treat them as really an emergency situation and respond to that quickly. So it gives us a clear picture, and I just stand for any questions if there are. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask the good representative about the bottom of page 3. I guess I thought you were bringing an amendment in, and you might have thought that I was bringing it in. We need to get that taken care of.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the good Vice Chair of Education is correct. And I have the amendment on my desk, and I just thought we'd bring it on second reading. And the good chairman's referring to the condition scores on the bottom of page 24 or page 3, lines 20 through 24, where we incorporate educational suitability and technology readiness. That's already in statute, and that was cited in the Supreme Court case, and then new language specifically taking into consideration appropriate up-to-date standards for air quality, illumination, and appropriateness of the student environment. Those things will all be in the condition score. And the good vice chair said, well, what about the scoring tool that we use, which is an industry standard? And so the amendment will add that to this language, and I think the good vice chair brought up a good point, because when we're all gone from here and it's passed on to other folks sitting in these seats, to really have something in statute that we reference back to that scoring tool. So that is coming in a second reading amendment. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 16 do pass, please say aye. All those opposed, no. Senate File 16 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for your consideration is Senate File 36. The reading bill, or the reading clerk, will read the bill.
Senate File 36, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to seclusion and restraint in schools. This bill was sent to Committee Number 4, Education, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters. Signed, Representative Teeters, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 36 do pass. And I will turn this the the bill over to the good sponsor from the southwest corner.
Representative Barbuto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to bring before the body Senate File 36. During the interim, before we came back here to session, the good senator from down the hall and I had received email correspondence from a gentleman up in the center of the state whose child had been subject to some seclusion and restraint. And upon review of the policy and rules in his school district, he was unable to find anything in regards to seclusion and restraint. And so as a result, he decided to email his local legislators and some of us who are on the Developmental Disabilities Select Committee. And what came of that is the bill you have before us. And as we went through this process, we received a lot more stories and information about this happening in other districts. So it's not something that is certainly isolated to that school district or that area. It happens all around the state. Sometimes it's well documented. Sometimes it's a little more anecdotal in nature, but it does happen. And so born of that is this bill. So here on page 2, you can see that we are asking, we have here that the state superintendent shall adopt not later than July 1st of this year requirements and policies for school districts that deal with developing policies and trainings regarding the use of seclusion and restraint in their schools. And the state superintendent will have the opportunity to review those policies for each district and make sure that they are in compliance and meet the requirements. Down here in 21.3.110, line 20, you see the Board of Trustees in each school district will also have to, not later than December 31st of this year, adopt policies and training procedures regarding the use of seclusion and restraint. And, of course, those will have to be in compliance, like we said before, with what the State Department and the State Superintendent has outlined. And in that policy, one, here's an important note, it requires that the parent or the guardian of that child be notified each time that seclusion or restraint is utilized, and that that policy will prohibit the use of locked seclusion, and that this this policy is not secluded to any group or population of students, just applies to every student. Unfortunately, in a lot of situations, this has been a particular problem with those living with developmental disabilities. It's a vulnerable population. And unfortunately, when it does happen, they're not always aware that an indiscretion has occurred. Down here at the bottom of 3 on A, you see we have a definition for restraint, the use of physical force, with or without a physical device or material to restrict the free movement of all or a portion of the student's body. And that doesn't include comforting or calming a student or holding a student's arm. And then on the back page here, 4, we have seclusion means removing a student from a classroom or other school activity. Remember before we said this shall not include locked seclusion, but a school act, isolating them from classroom or other school activity. And seclusion does not include a requested break or in-school suspension, detention, or other disciplinary measures. In your tray, you should have a couple of letters from two different groups expressing their support of this particular piece of legislation. So I'll let you read those at your leisure, but I hope you do look at them. They're great letters, and we're happy to have their support. And with that, I would stand for any questions.
Representative Stupson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a couple of questions. One, just wondering how many districts out there don't have a seclusion and restraint policy. I know a number of them do. I know mine is the one that my district has is several pages long, and that the Department of Education has been reaching out actively over the last year to help districts do exactly this. So I'm just wondering if there's really a burning need for this bill, given that they're out there working on this issue already. And then kind of a more specific question on the drafting. On looking under the definition of restraint on page 3, down at the end there, it's got a bunch of things that are not a restraint, and included in that is using a device prescribed by an appropriately trained professional or professional team. And just as I'm reading through that, I can imagine somebody being trained to use a taser and I mean, I'm just not sure what sort of devices we're talking about here, but wouldn't using a taser, probably shouldn't that be included as a restraint?
Representative Kasparik.
I would rise in support of this bill. Seclusion and restraint is never a fun thing. Hospitals have laws that govern how they use seclusion and restraint. And to me, it appears that this bill would help us to have policies and have best practices in place that would support all schools in the training and in the use of seclusion and restraint. This is to keep children, not only the ones who are being restrained, but other children, teachers, staff, safe. You know, whenever children have behaviors that have allowed them to be out of control.
Representative Barbuto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I should have put a no swimming sign outside my pond, but to answer some of the questions, I would hope that when they're developing the policies and training for the school districts, and I did receive word here too that LSOs checked and not all districts do have a policy regarding seclusion restraint, but I'd hope that in the training and policy procedure that goes forward that tasers aren't included. But I guess we'll see what the superintendent comes up with. But I that's not really a concern for me, because they will have the proper training. And just as a reminder, this isn't just something to protect students and their welfare and health, but also to protect teachers, because obviously there is some times when seclusion, more so restraint, would be appropriate. And they need to know how to do it properly, not only to protect the student, but to protect themselves from any liabilities. So if there are no more questions, it looks like there is. I should have said any more questions except from lawyers, but I didn't, so I'll stand for more questions.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, just to follow up, I was sort of being flip in the reference to tasers, but the question does run a little bit deeper than that. We're saying here that if you use a device to restrain them, then it's not restraint. And I can't figure out why you have that in there, that you say restraint doesn't include using a device. Seems like that's probably one of the things we would really want included in a restraint and seclusion policy. And in this law, you're saying that the policy essentially wouldn't apply if you use a device.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My understanding from testimony in committee was that those devices include things like wheelchairs, things like a neck support, things that are not restraints, things that are clearly not restraints, things that are used by people with possible disabilities, that they need to be able to function, that are not restraints. We're trying to draw a line between the two.
Whoops, Representative Barbuto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. From now on, I'm just going to stand up and say this is a cleanup bill and it's about freedom and states' rights and leave it at that. And I'll ask for the question. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on this bill? Is there any other discussion on this bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Teeter's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 36 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 36 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the committee, good work, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we've accomplished a lot this morning. I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
All those in favor of the Majority Floor Leader's motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion is passed. Standing committee reports, Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet 15 minutes upon adjournment this afternoon in room H17 to discuss the following bills: Senate File 93, Engrossed Dietetic Licensure; Senate File 37, Engrossed Health Insurance Definitions; Senate File 29, Engrossed Developmental Disability Services; and Senate File 145, Engrossed Medicaid Fraud Recovery.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet tomorrow, Thursday, February 17th, 10 minutes after adjournment, and we will consider Senate File 124, Engrossed Overweight and Oversized Vehicle Penalties.
Chairman Berger.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Your committee, Appropriations 2, will meet tomorrow, February 17th at 8 a.m. to hear Senate File 25, Long-Term Service and Support, Senate File 50, Medicaid Options Study, Senate File 102, Medicaid Cost Study, and Senate File 107, Energy Impacted County Roads Programs.
Is there any other business in front of the Committee of the Whole? If not, we are in recess till 2 p.m.